truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Truth Be Told. I am your host, James C. Turner, Jr., and today I have a guest from A&E's hit TV series, 60 Days In, Mark from Season 5. Mark, how you doing today?
Hey, buddy, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Pretty good to have you, man. Glad to have you on, finally.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it, bud.
Hey, we needed someone with a cool accent on here.
What, that southern accent?
Yep. Hey, I love those accents, man. I'll be honest.
Well, you know, being from around here, I grew up here, man, and a lot of people around here say I don't talk too southern. So I used to always think I was from up north, but then people from up north would say, "Hey, man, you got a southern accent." So I've always kind of just accepted to some people I don't have a southern accent, to others I do.
Hey, well, I like it. I can dig it here being from Cleveland, Ohio, because I hear just a bunch of cursing pretty much. That's our accent.
I got you, brother. Good stuff, man.
So let's get right into it, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool. So of all the other people who probably, you know, had applied to be on the show, what do you think it was about yourself that stood out, and why do you feel you were chosen?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not really privy to their recruiting practices. And, you know, I've had people, fans of the show, reach out to me and they'll say, "I want to do 60 Days In, man. What are they looking for?" And, you know, truth be told, I don't know. You know, you look at Season 5's cast and we're so diverse. We have, you know, an ex-con from New York. We have a military veteran from California. You have a guy from Georgia. You know, we're a little bit everywhere. So I would say, if I were to guess, it would probably be because, you know, I had an interesting story. So, you know, I'm an ex-corrections officer. I did 13 years in the Army. But more importantly, I also have, you know, a close relative that is doing a prison sentence right now. And so I know one of the things I told him was, "Listen, I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place here. You know, I want to have compassion for inmates because I have a close family member that, you know, is doing 10 years. But then I'm also a former CO. So I kind of look at it from both sides of the coin here." And I think that story, you know, definitely made them interested. And that may have contributed to why I was selected.
And now, also, I remember you were saying, you know, you were a fan of the show. You know, did that help you at all in any way, you know, coming up with a strategy when you went on the show?
You know, I'll say, hindsight being 2020, our season had 10 episodes. Out of 10 episodes, you divided by 7 inmates. So I was doing, you know, kind of the math recently. Yeah, we got maybe a little more than an hour total airtime out of everybody. So, you know, I know I said on the show that watching it and seeing every episode, which I did, I was a fan of 60 Days In, and you know, watching it and seeing every episode helps you. But in reality, it doesn't, because you're in there, you're being filmed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, at the end of the day, they show maybe a total of an hour out of 60 days. So I would say, honestly, if you're going to use that as your strategy, that's probably not the best strategy to use.
You know, seeing in how the show's progressed over the years, how much do you feel race played a factor in how things were dictated while you were there?
You know, that's a good point. That's actually a very, very good question. So the first 4 seasons were, as if you're a fan of the show, you know, they were on the East Coast. The first 4 seasons, it really wasn't about race. It was, from what I could tell, it was about gangs that ran the facility, that ran the individual pods. You know, our season was a little different, whereas we were on the West Coast. And on the West Coast, everything, in fact, if you go back to the very first episode of our season, you know, they sat there and they told us, "Hey, You will eat with your race. You know, you will hang out with your race. You will back your race. So I think that was definitely a little, just a little different than the other four seasons, is for us, everything was about race. In my pod specifically, you could hang out and you could talk with other races, which I did. But when it came down to eating and really, having to have someone's back, you had to do your race. If you didn't, you could get jumped.
Now, would you say it would be essential to be in, you know, a group or a gang for survival?
Yeah, in there, I think, especially in our pod, it's just, honestly, it's the way it's always been. And it is kind of a means of survival because, and the first four seasons, you see kind of the same thing. I mean, the gangs, hung out with each other. I mean, they ran everything for, survival mode. I would say that on our season and in the West Coast in general, it's just more of a survival factor. I've got 15 white guys here. That's my group. So I would definitely say, yeah, it's about survival. That's the reason why it's race related.
Now, for those of us who've never experienced jail in any way, what's one of the biggest common misconceptions about being in jail?
Okay, so that's a really good question because, a lot of people, they will, they'll watch, movies like Shawshank Redemption, anything like that, and they think that jail's a lot like that. So what I would say is, for the most part, everybody in at least in our pod, and I understand we were medium security. We weren't in maximum security. I would say everybody there had, for the most part, had just issues with drugs or even undiagnosed mental illness. And in fact, if nothing else, that opened my eyes to see that the criminal justice system, the way it is now, the whole mantra of lock them up, I don't really necessarily agree with that. Let's treat the root cause, the addiction issues. Let's treat the mental illness. Let's not necessarily resort to locking everybody up.
Were there any incidents or conversations that, with the show being highly edited, that weren't shown on TV that you felt should have been?
Well, so actually, that's a good question. So one of the things I did in my pod was I actually helped a lot of people write resumes because I didn't want them to come back. I want them to get out there, get a job, succeed. And, I really wish that they had shown this, but I probably helped 30 guys write resumes and understand where, race didn't dictate who I helped. If you came up to me, I just had to deal with everybody. Hey, if you need help with a resume, come up to me and we'll help you. And I really wish they had shown that, but, due to time constraints and they have to tell a story, they didn't show that. But I would say that was probably one of my greatest contributions in there, was helping a lot of these guys write resumes so when they got out, they could get a job and not go back.
And see, that's amazing. That's something they should show more on TV instead of kind of like, it's kind of gotten more of a reality feel like over the years than of kind of like what the purpose of the show has been about.
I've been a fan of the show since its inception. And, I would say the first couple of seasons, it was really a lot more raw than it is now. It's a shame, but I'm not going to be mad at A&E over that. I mean, they have to tell a story and, they've got to pour through, as I said, they film you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 60 days. And, they've got to tell a story. So I understand what you're saying and I agree completely, but I also understand where A&E is coming from as well.
Now, how do you feel that you were portrayed versus how you would have wanted to be portrayed?
So a lot of people that are probably listening to this podcast know that I'm the fist bumping Bible study type of guy. I would say it portrayed me as being a lot more awkward than I am, But once again, I can't be mad. They have to tell a story. You know, it worked out. It worked out for me. You know, sometimes I wish maybe they hadn't portrayed necessarily me running around the pod yelling Bible study 50 times and then sitting down by myself. But once again, it is what it is.
Now, you said you'd helped guys, you know, work on resumes. Were there any particular inmates that you had kind of taken a liking to or that you'd kind of kept up with since you've gotten out?
Yeah, so there was actually a few guys. You know, one of them, I saw him in the show quite a few times, but it never really shows him. I think it shows me walking with him once. But his name was Matt, and Matt's just a good, genuine, in fact, a lot of them were good, genuine dudes, but Matt was just a good, genuine dude. You know, we were really, really close in the pod. You know, the other guy that actually wound up getting jumped because he chose to run with the black people was, you know, his name was Dylan, if y'all forgot his name. I really thought the world of Dylan. Dylan was a good guy. In fact, me and him became really, really close as well until the fight happened. And when the fight happened, he got rolled out and I didn't see him again. But yeah, there were several guys. There was another guy in there from Alabama. They didn't show him at all. But he was, you know, I think being a Southern boy, you know, I really kind of, and he was a young kid too. I just really kind of talked to him a lot, you know, just about, you know, not living this type of life. And yeah, there were a few guys, man. There were a few guys.
That's awesome, man. It's good to hear, you know, make connections beyond the show.
Yeah. 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 You know, and that's what it was about. You know, I know some people will consider us participants rats, you know, we went in and we told on them. But, you know, talking to many of the other participants, that's not what we were there for. You know, we were there because we wanted to make a difference. And, you know, that's part of why I did the show. As I said, you know, my close family member who's currently in prison, you know, I wanted to understand, hey, what is he going through, man? And you know, it really was about making a difference, not any notoriety, not fame or anything like that. It was about just stepping it out there, meeting these guys, knowing their stories, trying to help them and help them become law-abiding citizens again.
And, you know, you talk about making a difference and a change. What good do you feel like came from this experience, you know, personally?
Personally, so I'm from the South. And if you don't know this about the South, it's we call it the Bible Belt. And, you know, I can pick up a rock right now and throw it and hit about five churches. But kind of with the whole Southern atmosphere is the whole attitude of you do the crime, you do the time. And I'll admit that was something I struggled with was, you know, hey, you do the crime, you do the time. But it really taught me empathy being in there. And finally just putting a face with the name. So the one thing I think a lot of these documentaries do, I'm not talking about just 60 Days In, I'm talking about, you know, the Locked Up, shows on NBC and stuff like that, is they do a good job about showing how unruly these inmates are. And, you know, they don't really put a name there. They don't put a story there. And you know, so it's when you watch all these shows, it's easy to hate inmates and to be wary of them, but to go in there and know their meet them, you know their name, know their face, find out their story. You know, I don't think a single participant can do this show and not somewhat grow empathetic to a lot of these people that are doing time.
You know, was there ever a time in there that you felt like you were in immediate danger or you'd felt about, you know, leaving?
I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, I don't think anyone, as far as participant-wise, would ever say they never thought about leaving. I mean, I think that was something every single day. I would wake up and I would know, hey, you know, I can tap out today and go home if I want to. But I was also in the military, so I don't quit anything I do. But I would say at least once a day, I thought for just a half a second, man, I could go home today and I wouldn't have to worry about this.
Well, actually, you know, I feel like that's a great message right there, because for some of those people that got kicked off, they got bashed real heavily on the internet, you know, being in a social media age, everybody's under such a tight microscope. So, you know, it's nice to hear that everybody or, you know, more people are thinking that. So I can't just bash somebody for getting kicked out or wanting to leave.
You know, being a fan of the show, that's actually a really good point. So I used to have, you know, bad opinions of certain participants that quit, you know. A lot of people, you know, they want to, especially on social media, they want to use them as a punching bag. And after doing the show, you know, it kind of opened my eyes to a lot, not all of them. Some of them kind of brought it upon themselves. I'm not going to name any names, but I think a lot of us know who those were. But it definitely gave me a new set of eyes to view previous participants. And you know, and especially on Twitter, hashtag 60 days in, while the show's going on, man, there's a lot of hate that comes. If they don't think you're going to make it, and that was a good example. I watched, you know, Twitter during all 10 episodes of our season, and people in the beginning, you know, were calling me the fat guy that I was going to quit within, you know, an episode or two. And at the end of the day, a lot of the participants, you know, you don't see the full story. You just see little bits and pieces, and you see, you know, what the network wants you to see. But at the end of the day, you know, I think if you're going to be honest, you know, you can't sit there and say, hey, it wasn't a day you didn't think about quitting.
Hey, man, you know, what kind of transition has it been, you know, getting back into a normal life and routine after doing something like this?
You know, so I know it has affected some people differently. For me, I think because I had been in the military for so long, it wasn't that tough of a transition from at least the mental standpoint. It is a hard thing to do. I mean, doing this show, if you're a participant, it is definitely a commitment. And I would say that it is a hard, probably one of the harder shows that you would do. If you want to do the show for fame, this ain't the show to do it. But I would say for me, the biggest transition wasn't necessarily the mental transition. It was the physical transition. Because one thing you don't see is the beds there are so terribly uncomfortable and there's so much light and it's so loud in there. I slept maybe 3 hours a night. And when I say I slept 3 hours a night, that wasn't at any given time. That was maybe an hour here, 30 minutes there. 30 minutes, you know, here. And I know when I first got home, I would just lie in bed wide awake. And so it took a while to start getting sleep again. But that was probably, honestly, the biggest transition from coming out.
Okay, if all would have went well and you would have been given the option to stay another 60 days, would you have taken it?
You know, I've been asked this question before, and that's a good question. I don't know. I don't think I would have. I mean, you know, I don't know. It probably would have been something I would have crossed when I got there. I don't think right now, hindsight being 2020, I don't think I would have. No.
Or how about, do you feel like you could have made more of an impact than you had already made if you were to stay a longer stay?
Well, absolutely. You know, we got pulled out a little bit early. You know, I wish I could have finished my entire 60 days, but, yeah, I think, you know, obviously any day you're in there is another day that, especially if you're in there and you want to make a difference, you know, you can say any day, you know, another day is another day you can reach out to people. And so I think if I had stayed, you know, if we had been able to stay a little bit longer, I think you remember my episode where they asked me if I wanted to tap out, And I said, well, I do want to tap out, but I'm not going home. you know, and that was because, as I said, I've been in the Army, you know, I've been stuck in some really bad places. And so for me, quitting wasn't an option. But I think if I had been able to stay, you know, even another week, it would have, you know, I could have even made more of a difference. But, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is. Everything that happened, we all got pulled out. So that was kind of the end of our season.
Do you feel that the military background, you know, helped you while you were in there in any ways? Just even, you know, talking with people, kind of gauging how other people are?
Yeah, you know what? Everything in the military is about, you know, it's rigid. It's you know, this is what time we do this. This is what time we do that. Believe it or not, I would say if you were in the military, that's a very good primer for going to jail and doing 60 days in. Just because we're used to living in open bay barracks with 60, 70 other guys. And, you know, we're used to, you have to get up by this time. And so I would say that being in the military helps you a lot. If you're out here listening to this and you want to go do the program, you want to go do next season, if you're a former military, as I said, it still sucks, but it'll help you a lot just because of the conditions that you lived in when you were in the military.
And being somebody who's been through the process, I guess if you could kind of tell people what the process is like to get on a show like that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things I'm unfortunately unable to say just because of, you know, the process is kind of closely guarded. But what I would say is, I'm sorry, what was the question one more time? My apologies.
I guess if somebody were to apply to, like, to get on a show like that, like, what would they have to do that?
Well, okay. Well, you know, I can't really get into their recruiting practices. Once again, that's kind of a trademarked or a little secret, if you will. But just honestly, be open about who you are. Why do you want to be there? What reason do you want to be there? Is it for fame? Because I'm going to tell you right now, that fame quickly goes away. You know, you ever hear that term, get your little 15 seconds of fame? You know, after the show's over, it really does kind of mellow out. So if you're there for fame, then you need to keep on going because you're not going to get it doing 60 days in. But if you're there to change the criminal justice system, then, you know, because you see it as a broken system, which I believe it is, then obviously you're there for the right reasons. I would say, first of all, if you're trying to get on the show, do it for the right reasons. Don't do it for the wrong reasons. And then secondly, just when you talk to the casting people, just put your best foot forward. Tell them why you're there, what you want to, you know, change, what you'd like to see change. Just, you know, do that. And as far as if you want to get mentally prepared for the show, just, you know, don't go to sleep for about 2 months. Sleep with one eye open. And be prepared for drama all the time.
You've recently started a new podcast. Could you tell us more about the name of that and what kind of show you're planning on having it be?
Yeah. So the name of my podcast is called Is It Reality? Or I'm sorry, Is This Reality? So what my podcast does is it just talks to different reality TV people. In fact, I just started it. My interview went up about a week ago with Judd Daugherty from the TV show Big Brother. And I've got on the lineup getting ready to interview people from Road Rules, The Real World, you know, some 60 Days In people, stuff like that. And basically what it is it's just to get to know these people because you see them on TV and you form one opinion. And this is just, you know, kind of what you're doing. With me is, you know, just get to know them, get to talk to them and stuff like that. And as I said, tune in, it's on pretty much everywhere you can get a podcast, Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and good Anchor FM, you know, there's a ton of business that's called Is It Reality with Mark Dinn, D-I-N.
And any other kind of upcoming or new and exciting projects that Mark has coming up that people can look out for?
Well, you know, I'm getting into some documentary filmmaking. So, you know, it's just kind of on the side right now. I've still got to pay the bills and work the regular 9 to 5. But, you know, we're getting ready to launch, you know, a YouTube channel. We're going to do some documentary filmmaking. That's going to be pretty neat. Another thing that I'm doing is, you know, I'm working with a ministry, a gel ministry, to go into these gels and just talk to them. You know, I'm a man of faith. I think if you watch a show, I'm known as the Bible study in 5 minute guy. Well, that's a real faith for me. And it wasn't something that was just for the show. So, you know, I'm working with some prison ministries now about getting Bibles, new Bibles into the facilities, and also going in and talking to them. So it's an exciting, you know, it's exciting. Make sure to definitely just check it out. And I'll definitely let people know on my social media channels what's coming up.
Mark, man, you're a positive guy. You've been a pleasure to have on the show. You're fun to listen to. You're definitely a friend. You know, please give everyone like your social media and where they can find you on internet at.
Okay, absolutely. So I would say the best place to find me right now is on Twitter, and you can look me up at TheRealMark60. You can go to my Instagram. I'm not as involved on Instagram as I am Twitter, but just type in TheRealMark60. And as I said, at TheRealMark60 on Twitter, and TheRealMark60 on Instagram.
And that means we'll have no excuse not to find him on there. And you can find me at JP'sAllDay90 on Twitter, and then James C. Turner Jr. on Facebook and IG. Mark, thank you again for coming on the show, man. This is a great episode.
Hey, James, man. Thanks for having me, dude. Well, you know, when you reached out to me, I know we've talked a little bit. Hey, James is a solid dude, so make sure y'all follow him on Twitter as well.
Thank you so much, brother. Definitely have to have you on the show again. Everybody, this has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Tune in next week.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain. Young G1.